I'll start this meeting. This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. Today is Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. It is 5:32, and our meetings continue to be held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 760-105-649-pound. Have access to the meeting. Let's see, we've quite a lot to cover today. I think, Steve, are you going to do roll call to start?
Yes, I will. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to call roll call. Commissioner Clary?
Here.
Commissioner Lehman?
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom?
Present.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz?
Here.
Commissioner Loring?
Here.
And also present our interim EMS chief.
Superintendent, whatever, whoever you are.
Nathan, and all the other people. We're all here.
I'm here. Whoever I am.
Okay, thank you. Before we approve the consent agenda, are there any agenda amendments, commissioners? Okay, and at this time, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Anyone?
So moved.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Everybody fine? All in favor to approve the consent agenda?
Aye.
Thank you. We do have audience participation. At this time, if there is, I think I see Beth and Lainey and Herb are listening in today. I don't see anyone else. But if you do have a comment at this time, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself. And I'm not sure if anybody's emailed in or reached out to Nathan regarding speaking at this time. We will have public comment later in this in this meeting as well. So, moving on from that, we are waiting for an outside report from Ann Presson, who's our project manager for the HRSA planning grant. She, however, is in her own board meeting right now, I believe, so she'll join us as she can, so we can just put things on hold for her at that time. I think she's planning to be done close to 6, so we'll just adapt to that schedule. And during that time, I think we should go ahead and address unfinished business. Which we would start with committee reports and discussions. Not entirely sure which committees met this month, so bear with me, and we'll start with the Community Collaboration Committee, which is Gail and Trish.
I don't think it met. Did not meet.
Okay.
It did not meet. We're meeting Monday.
Oh, great. Okay, Monday, huh? Normally they meet Friday. That's different.
Well, there's a luncheon, so I'm not sure how that date came, but anyway, we're going to be in outside luncheon.
I'm going to be off work, and I'm going to be on some kind of trip, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right.
You're our representative, Trish. If not, I'm missing the luncheon.
I'll eat for both of us.
Thank you.
Okay. Gail, was there anything on the EMS and Trauma Care Council?
You know, I've been delinquent. Nathan went to that, I think. I was off island that day as well and didn't manage to hook
in. We have Lainey here too. Lainey, is there anything to fill in on that? Or Nathan?
I don't think there was anything of significance. We actually had a couple of classes that were granted through the North region, and they were held in our county. Actually had 3 pairs classes, which is pediatrics, and 1 used to be called geriatric, but now it's called something else because it includes autism, not just geriatrics. And it had a very brief meeting that mostly just reported what each agency is doing.
Okay.
I think there was also discussion about the voting aspect, right? And how the voting is going to be in the RCWs for that. Is that right, Nathan?
We did talk about the voting and bylaws discussion, which we're hoping to get done by the end of the year. That will expand the vote past the four executive officers of the four islands. Other than that, I think Lainey covered it pretty well. And Shaw announced a class, but I understand that's been delayed now. Yeah, there's really not a lot to report there.
Okay, thanks, you guys. Thank you. The Finance Committee, Everett, I believe you went to the review yesterday.
Yes. Really nothing unusual other than the expense looked like we spent a lot of money because we paid off the building. And so there was that. But aside from that, the money in the bank is still good. We still have good operating funds. There were no unusual expenses. Everything is looking good. It really feels like they have a good handle on everything that's going on. The reports are looking really clean. You know, we're getting rid of unnecessary accounts. Sally Thompson looked through the T-Mobile account and found some unnecessary phones and got rid of those. Steve has been tracking down an unnecessary Verizon bill that's been a headache and got rid of that. So they've been taking care of small details all the while being extremely busy with this HRSA grant and a lot of other things. So I think things are overall getting cleaned up in the finance area. They're taking care of a lot of nitty gritty small stuff and still finding time to look at things. So yeah, I felt it was good. So no news is good news.
Thank you. Was there any activity on the civil investigative demand? Were we able to reach out to our attorney?
Yes, we were. So Superintendent Butler and I had a chat with them and with Mr. Fredman. And at this point, we are going to be bringing something back to the board in August, hopefully to have a conversation around some sort of contact again with the state to try to reopen the conversation. And so we're working on that, and we're going to be putting together some details, and we hope to have our attorney present at that point, and then we'll have a conversation about that as a board. Is there anything I'm missing there, Mr. Butler?
No, I think that's the salient points. Okay.
Thank you. I look forward to that. Inter Island Healthcare Foundation, long-term care.
So nothing that I'm aware of. Yeah.
I guess that's a topic also later in our meeting as well. So. And community relations, not much, but we do have a meeting planned for next week with, I believe, Nathan and.
Yes, next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
12:30, I have on my calendar. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. It'd be a great chance to assess, you know, our public relations strategy going forward. Mm-hmm. We got some decisions to make tonight that will help shed light on how we should approach that. So the timing actually works out well.
Great, thank you. So if that's it for committee reports and discussion, we can move on to new business. And this is resolution 21-548, which is to close the bank account used for Medevac refunds. And this account was, when I came on as a commissioner, I remember quite cluttered, and we were dealing with reimbursements, and it's nice to know that we've resolved a lot of these issues at this point and that we can actually close this account. So I think this was in 2017 that we started this deposit for membership refunds. So I think all the money's been returned for the most part, and there's just a balance that we just need to authorize the district to close this account and transfer the funds to the district's account with the county treasurer. Is there anything I need to add to that, Nathan?
That's most of it. Only thing I would add is that there's about $2,000 in funds that they put in there just to keep a minimum balance, and about $430 of residual funds that were intended to be refunded to people who ultimately did not respond to any of our efforts to contact them. So what happens is we issued a warrant to the state for that amount of money, and it's now with unclaimed property at the state. So I don't know if we ever get that money back, or if it just sits there forever, or, you know, not done it before. So that's really what's all that's going on. It'd be nice to reduce the number of bank accounts we have, fewer things to check, fewer things to have go wrong. So.
Okay, great. Are there any questions or comments on this? If not, I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 21-548.
I make a motion.
I second that motion.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. The next thing on the agenda is the State Auditor's Office of Data Sharing Agreement. And I'll let Nathan handle this one.
Yeah, this one is, there is a state law put into place regarding data sharing. This is an agreement the state now has to have with all the entities that it audits. So everyone is passing this same thing. And I asked our legal counsel, you take a look at this. And they were, you know, they didn't say this quite so bluntly, but they were like, yeah, 24 other people contacted us and asked the same question. You can go ahead and adopt that. So there's no, our legal counsel's vetted it. It's necessary for state law, and it doesn't actually change anything substantively on the ground. It's just sort of a housekeeping item.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions regarding the interagency data sharing agreement? No. In that case,
I think I have a quick one. So, Mr. Butler, you mentioned this won't change anything on the ground. It wasn't totally clear what this agreement does, you know, like any good agreement, right? It's rather obscure in the description of its purpose. But we won't need to change any protocols we have, or to the extent we do need to, we can meet those to meet any sort of confidentiality requirements for the data.
That's correct. It doesn't change anything, and it just allows us to meet the state's new legal requirements. The main issue here is like items 6, 7, and 8 having to do with data access. It's just saying that we're willing to share data with them and the way in which it needs to be conveyed to them. The state's done a big cybersecurity push. I think that's kind of what's going on here too.
Okay.
The problem with the COVID, one of the many issues with COVID is everyone's gone online and gone digital, and that has meant a lot of accounts have been hacked. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Loring?
It did, yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, it did.
Okay, so I move to adopt this interagency data sharing agreement between the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 and the Office of the Washington State Auditor. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you very much. This other housekeeping item is appointment of the new board recording secretary. And we had proposed, I think, in April to bring Steve into this role. Isn't that correct, Nathan?
That's correct. Right before I went on vacation, Peggy, Steve, and I talked about Peggy's workload, and we agreed to move this over to Steve. So this is something we plan on doing for a month or so.
Okay. And Steve, you're still in agreement with this?
Yes, I am. I'm happy to do so.
Okay, great. We don't need to vote on that. We just need to...
You do need to vote on it. It's an official board position, and it's actually an RCW position. But a motion's fine.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to appoint Steve Wamscance as our new board recording secretary.
So moved.
I'll make that motion. So moved, yes.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
All in favor?
Second that motion.
Aye.
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 All right, thank you. Congratulations, Steve.
and thank you, Steve.
Look, it's priceless, Steve.
I'm going to be. I'm taking over.
Okay, next on the agenda is our public records policies are 8 years old. So it looks like public records laws have evolved. We got sort of a tough lesson in that recently, and or how they haven't evolved necessarily. But so we need to update these two policies. Anything further? Have you all had time to read this?
I know that it's riveting reading, but it's nice to finally have an update for this policy. The other policy will come later. It's not quite done, but I've seen the draft. It's coming along well. Hopefully I'll have that for you next time. And the other policy has to do with retention of records and destruction of records, that sort of thing. This policy is more how records requests work and our policies on that, our pay policies. We could have more aggressive fee scales, but frankly, they're a lot of hassle because you can charge like 10 cents for a gigabyte of data, which is just not worth the time and effort. This is basically what we've come up with. And this will be effective for the whole district, EMS and the hospital district. The heading on it, the policy area, title of policy, original effective date, that will be adjusted depending on whether it's in the hospital district policies or the EMS policies. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we organize our policies and procedures later in the agenda, but bottom line here is Steve and our attorney worked this out. I reviewed it. It's frankly pretty cookie cutter, but it's a necessary update.
Looks good to me. I propose we adopt it.
Okay, so.
Is that a motion there?
That was a motion.
You're moving to adopt the Washington Public Records Act, this new policy. Okay. I'll second that.
I did have one quick question during the discussion. We had two versions, I think, that we received, and one said it was a comparison. So I was thinking it was maybe a comparison of the two documents, but there were only two words that were revised in that. Is that right?
It wasn't a comparison to the original version. It was just there was a typo we changed.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Sorry if I misspoke in the email about it.
So the attorney had sent back the document and with track changes on, and so we couldn't tell that that hadn't been done. So that's all.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Is there any further discussion? In that case, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? The duck.
Aye.
Aye.
In public records.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Next is hospital district policies and procedures. Nathan?
Yeah. So I know this isn't a super exciting topic, but there are a couple different ways you can manage policies and procedures. And EMS and the hospital district do it differently. So you can either have a whole booklet with all of your policies that essentially has a table of contents and then basically chapters with all of your policies in them. Then when you update them, you can make changes to certain sections, then you update the whole section. So say there's 10 chapters and you update chapter 7, well, you readopt the whole booklet, you know, which has the advantage of being pretty simple. You just take whatever the most recent revision was. So like Washington State's retention policies work this way. They just basically add an entry that says, okay, you know, July 15, 2018, we added changes to this section of the policies, and you adopt the whole set of policies. The other way you can do this is like what EMS does. Sorry, my allergies are itching my eyes. And EMS has basically one numbered policy for every policy we can think of. And then you update the one policy, and then ideally you go to your binder, pop out the old policy, shred it, and put in the new one. I believe we should move towards the former system of policies and procedures, which is you have one booklet with all the policies in one place, and you adopt the whole thing, even if you've got to update a single chapter. Because the problem we have is, looking back 2 years, 3 years, it's not always clear to me what really the most up-to-date version of the policy is. Did they forget to put it in the binder? You know, is the digital version the correct one? It'd be nice to just have one document that has all the policies and you update them each time. But, you know, certainly both ways work. Does anyone have an opinion on this? Or should we just handle it the way we want to handle it?
I think you should do the thing that is really easiest for you.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. Anyone else?
Whatever's the most efficient. Just whatever's the most efficient and works for you.
Okay.
I agree. Quick note, you can just put a date on a document. I find that works pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can, but is it like the most recent date? You know, it's hard to figure this out without.
I will say my thought was that we could be adopting binders with old policies, and I guess the idea is that maybe that's okay, and we don't, you know, we actually supersede a newer policy with an older policy by adopting the binder if somebody forgot to put it in the binder. But I don't know. It sounds like it's just a record keeping issue as much as anything. But you should do whatever works best for you to make sure that you're working with the policies you feel need to apply.
Okay. So one of the reasons this comes up is because we are being audited by HRSA. They're doing a lot of audits right now, I understand. We don't think that they targeted us specifically. It's just something they're doing a lot of. Unfortunately, you know, all of our policies and procedures have to be consistent with the federal standards and rules since we're receiving grant money. The hospital district policies and procedures date back to the medical center. EMS procedures are more recent, depending on the policy. Basically, since Pam Hutchins was the superintendent and the only non-EMS employee for so long, presumably there was really no need to update them. Or no perceived need to do so, and it certainly would have been a big undertaking. So we have to literally update all of the administrative policies. Steve has been working hard on that, and we met with the HRSA auditor that gave us a detailed list of all of the federal policies that they expect to see in our policies. The procedure is fairly friendly, in that you basically send them your policies, they send back recommendations for changes, and then you kind of go back and forth that way until you've got a set of policies that works. And I'm told that they will even give us time to bring it back to the board for adoption. So if that's true, I don't think we really need to make any action tonight. But we are updating all of the hospital district policies and procedures for the administrative stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that it was okay if I represent that we're, you know, if I make changes to these policies and send them to HRSA and say they're our policies, that you have no objection to that, because formally they've not been adopted by you yet. We are making preemptive changes to bring them into line with federal rules and regulations, but we will bring back the final policies to you for approval once they've gone through the whole HRSA review. Is that a coherent explanation?
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Okay. So is that all right with the board?
Yes.
What sort of changes do you think you'll be making between the time you take the policies as they exist now, and or at least the ones you think are the most recent, and you forward those on? This sounds like a great opportunity, by the way, to tighten up some things with some input.
It needs done anyway. Agreed. Steve, you want to address some of the changes we're working on in those policies?
Well, it's pretty much everything. We're looking at the top to the bottom. They're so old that it's good for it to just have a complete refresh and look at all the policies. I'm looking at the county's policies and procedures, EMS's, and others that I've found, and the ones that HRSA, the auditor, actually gave us. And so I'm bringing that in line with the CFRs and the state regulations. So we're just creating we're going to have the nicest policies and procedures manual in the world. So yeah,
it's a bold claim.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit, but it's coming together really well, and I think we're going to be really proud of it.
I can give you some examples, though, Commissioner.
I know. I don't know that you need to go through that. I'm just thinking maybe the way to communicate it is to say something like the staff have done some revising of the policies that we have adopted as an agency, and you're forwarding those on in an effort to meet some of the new standards that you're applying, and you work through it that way. I always get a little uncomfortable if somebody says, I want to take something that this group hasn't adopted and forward it on and say, these are the entity's policies. If for example, the board is the entity that the part of the agency that would typically approve those things, you know?
I think we can probably say just that, though. Like, okay, we've adapted these policies, to meet your guidelines, but they're not approved by the board yet. We could say something along those lines. I don't think
Great.
That the auditor cared a great deal. They just, at the end of the day, they want us to have these policies in place, and I don't think they're very concerned about exactly how we get there. But we are expected to comply with their time frame, so it's taken a ton of time.
But the point is, we will be reviewing them and have the final approval since this is happening.
You will review them once they're done and we've gone through them with HRSA. An example might be like, travel policy. You have to use the General Services Administration per diem policy for travel and meals, that kind of thing. Reading through the policies, mostly we keep a lot of that stuff already. I mean, there's no reason to think that the 2013 policies and procedures that the hospital district had were inadequate for the time. They're really not bad. They just need quite a bit of updating. And some of it's just not as relevant for us. We don't take tons of cash receipts anymore or that kind of thing. And so the policies and procedures are probably a little heavy on the types of things we don't do a lot of. When we cleaned out the old medical center, we found box after box after box of old cash receipts and things. So those things would have taken a lot of their time.
Well, it's a good housekeeping item. I mean, it's something we recently did at EMS, so it's probably time. So thank you. We'll look forward to your updated policies and procedures.
Yes, I'm sure you all will.
We will. I mean that.
There'll be a quiz out. Yeah.
So if we're finished with that, the next item on the agenda is our board meeting format. And I guess, this is, we've been sort of confined to meeting online, but it looks as though we might be able to meet in person soon. And Nathan pays attention to the state law and policy for us. And I guess we don't really know what the reopening plan is, but I do, people from the public do ask me when we're returning to in-person meetings. So I think occupancy is still an issue. I know for myself at work, it's still 50%. I'm not really sure what capacity issues we'd have if we met at EMS or if we met at the public hospital district office, as we had also discussed. Nathan, is it possible we could meet in person next month?
It is possible, although when I researched this, it was shockingly hard to find information. And it's kind of been that way through this, where it feels like how local governments function is sort of an afterthought. There's quite a bit of guidance on state agencies reopening. In fact, I'm really glad we're not a state agency right now, because they've got, you know, like a huge, it's like a 30-page document, and it could all change in a week for all we know. Like, I don't know all the details of the governor's plan. Obviously, we've heard some things. What, near as I can tell, we have the option but are not required to meet in person. But we must provide a hybrid option so that people can attend remotely. And we can meet up to 50% of the fire marshal limit, which at EMS would be 25 people. So it's up to the board whether or not you want to try to make that happen. Our county has reached that 70% threshold. I think we can require masks if we wish. Our station is not officially open to the public, but I do plan to open it to the public once the mask mandate goes down. And it kind of already is. People have a reason to come here. They are allowed in. They just have to mask up or be vaccinated. So, I'm just curious what the board would like to do here. Sorry, there's a page going off in the background, and Anne was just texting me. She'll be here in about 5 minutes. So anyway, what does the board think?
I would prefer meeting in person, but I know it's complicated. I don't know if there's, are you talking about what's the rules are right now when you say what you said, Nathan, or after June 30th, the state, if the state doesn't have requirements anymore, there'll only be L&I restrictions until L&I gets their crap together. Right?
We are allowed to meet in person. Sorry. It's a marine transport, so there's more than usual stuff going on, at least from the part I heard. Anyway, a whole other story. Okay, so we can meet in person, but we need to provide that hybrid option if we do. Providing a hybrid option is not easy. But it's also quite possible that, in fact, likely, I would say that we will continue to be required to offer a hybrid option for some time to come. And because that's a burden, it does appear that the state is not intending to make us meet in person anytime soon. The default option is remote meetings, but we have the option to meet in person in a hybrid setting if we wish. That seems to be the bottom line. And I suspect that will continue to be the case. The government. But
Nathan, the hybrid setting can just be the conference call. The conference call thing. Yeah, I mean, if this is the same as a conference call for most people that don't have Microsoft Teams or who call in. So, you know, we just have that conference call thing on the table and have people call in, right?
We could do that. Yep.
But it's a hassle. I mean, I think if there's a chance that the hybrid requirement might go away in a couple months, it might be worth it to continue to meet this way until we can meet in person without that requirement, because the meetings are always recorded and the recordings are always posted on our website. So one less thing for staff to do.
In-person meetings take quite a bit more effort to set up than remote meetings, but we're happy to do it if that's the direction the board wants to go. Just because you got to lay out desks and tables and put out name tags and set out things, it takes an hour or two, but it's fine.
Is everyone comfortable meeting in person within the month?
Yeah, I am.
I am.
Yeah, I'll let you know in about 3 weeks.
You'll let me know in 3 weeks.
Things change quickly, right? We're in that period right now. Sorry, Commissioner Clary.
Yes,
I think
they
I
can.
That's okay. I'm comfortable meeting in person. I don't, from the number of people that sign on, I wouldn't say that there's been a lot of demand to meet in person. So I don't know that there's really a lot of push for that. It mm-hmm. it works okay to be meeting remotely. I mean, I know all of you personally, so remote meetings are working well. But I don't know how it feels to the public. I don't know who, if people are just curious when they ask when we're going to be meeting in person, or whether they really would be attending.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
Gail, do you know what this county is doing?
Well, the county is, it's different because it's employees. They haven't decided to open their doors. They'll open their doors when, I don't know. No, the employees are, if you're vaccinated and you're in an office with other vaccinated employees and you're not serving, connecting to the public, you can be unmasked. But if the public comes in, they're wearing masks. That, you know, what it is there's, you know, unvaccinated people are supposed to be continuing to wear masks in the setting, but nobody's checking. If you're an employee, they check it. But if you're the public, they're just expecting people to do that themselves. If they're unvaccinated, they're expecting people to mask themselves and come into places. So we've had a big problem because we have seniors, and we don't want seniors don't want to be around unvaccinated people, but nobody wants to ask and ask for cards and all that. So it hasn't been decided, at least at our center. So it's still very confusing. In businesses, it's still supposed to be mask people if you're unvaccinated, but just until June 27th. So I guess in public places, pretty soon that's going to change too.
Is the county council meeting in person?
No.
They're still doing Teams.
Yeah.
I would suggest that we follow the county council's lead. Just,
that's a good idea.
I mean, just as a matter of standard practice is, when in doubt, copy the county council.
Really?
But
I like that idea very much. Mm-hmm. Let's just be in alignment with them.
Yeah.
Well, I think it gives us time to wait and see what the actual requirements will be. And we can stay in this format without a lot of effort on the behalf of our employees. And then maybe in August, we can meet in person.
It will help keep expectations consistent, I think, too, for people who are trying to figure out where they go or what to do to attend a meeting. I think trying to be consistent with other entities in the county makes a lot of sense. I do want to make a push, though, for in the future setting ourselves up so that we can do hybrid meetings, because I think that would be fantastic. I want to make sure that as many people who want to participate in these meetings as possible can. And there are some people who really want to meet in person. And there are also people who may not have the technology to connect very easily without meeting in person. But then there are other people who are more comfortable meeting through their screen on the telephone or something. So I know I'd like to have a conversation about maybe how we do that as we move forward and things do open up and we start meeting in person at some point.
Okay,
The nice thing about that is we're not creating problems for other government agencies. If we start meeting in person and they're not, they may catch flack over it. I don't know. It'd be nice to have some consistency in the county over how we handle this kind of thing. But that said, I'm not personally very worried about in-person meetings. If the board wants in person, I'm fine with that. The vaccine seems to be very effective, and you know, if people want to be vaccinated can get it. There's no shortage of access. So I don't personally feel very worried about it. I just defer to the board. But I'm happy to work on a hybrid option, getting that ready, Commissioner Loring, if board would like. Probably take a little bit of technical know-how. We probably need some better microphones and that kind of thing, but I don't think it'll be too complicated.
Okay.
Well, we've been doing county meetings at EMS for a long time where we use that comm system. It seems to work really well. Like the trauma care council met, and they'd have people from other islands, you know, coming in through that, and it seemed to work.
That system has a Polycom system, and they got a grant to put in similar equipment all over the county. It doesn't interface with other systems, so it doesn't have like Skype or Microsoft Teams integration unless you pay for it. And it's quite expensive. However, I mean, if it costs money and we want it, it's okay. Things that cost money are okay, but it's not quite turnkey, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so for now, just to recap, it sounds like we're going to investigate hybrid options. We're going to anticipate meeting in the same format next month, and we'll follow the lead of other county agencies in terms of when they go live in person, correct?
Nice summation. I like that.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Is Anne ready to join us, or should we take on another topic?
I think we can cover the next item, the Island Hospital thing. Anne said she'd be here in 5 minutes, and then she texted me moments saying she's still trying to get there. So she should be here imminently.
Okay, great.
If we like, we can launch into my reports, which can easily be interrupted.
Okay, well, let's see how much we can get done. You know, this is a should be a pretty quick one. This we heard from Charles Hall at Island Hospital, and he is working with Rick Frazier and Ann Preston to put together a county medical needs discussion group. And this is, I think, still in the very early stages, but they're hoping that Mr. Butler and one of the commissioners will join them for a meeting in Anacortes. And I had brought this up with Trish prior to the meeting, just thinking her experience with Island Hospital and her background, she would be best suited to be our point person on this.
Great. I would enjoy that very much.
Is everyone else comfortable with that? Does anyone feel left out? Does anyone want to go? I mean, I'm sure we could take two. Okay. So in that case, it looks like we'll send Trish as our representative for that endeavor.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. I appreciate it.
Should be a fun day.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're going to go to Anacortes. And hey, Anne, how are you?
Hi, Anne.
That's actually perfect timing because we just finished.
Really good timing. Perfect. Great. Yeah.